cha prayan anyah asti karichit vata bhagavata yuyam priyachta bhagavan yata namad bhagavatanam cha Reyananyosti karichit Vata bhagavata yuyam Priyatsta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata namcha Reyananyosti karichit Atta bhagavata yuyam Priyashta bhagavata Priyashta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata namcha Preyananyosti karichit Bhagavata yuyam Priyasta bhagavanyata Nam bhagavata nam cha Priyananyosti karichit Vata bhagavata yuyam Priyasta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata namcha Priyananyosti karichit Vata bhagavata yuyam Priyasta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata namcha Priyananyosti karichit Vata bhagavata yuyam Priyasta bhagavanyata Yamad bhagavata namcha Priyananyosti karichit Vata bhagavata yuyam Priyashta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata namcha Priyananyosti karichit Ladies Vata bhagavata yuyam Priyashta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata namcha Priyananyosti karichit Vata bhagavata yuyam Priyashta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata namcha Priyananyosti karichit Girls? Any girls gonna do it? Atta bhagavata yuyam Priyashta bhagavanyata Namad bhagavata ramcha Priyananyosti karichit Atta bhagavata yuyam Priyashta bhagavanyata Priyas bhagavata namcha Priyananyosti karichit Atta Therefore Bhagavata Devotees Yuyam All of you Priya Very dear to me Shta You are. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yata, as. Na, neither. Mat, than me. Bhagavatanam, of the devotees. Cha, also. Preyan, very dear. Anyaha, others. Asti, there is. Kadichit, at any time. Translation. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am also dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Let's say after me. You are all devotees of the Lord.
You are all devotees of the Lord.
And as such, I appreciate,
that you are as
respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavan, there is Lord Shiva's temple called Gopishwara. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but Katyayani, or Durga, as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna, and he does not request material profit. In Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. Kamais tastair hitagyana. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods, but a devotee never does so, for he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asuras worship Lord Shiva. The asura worships Lord Shiva, takes some benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him liberation. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Lord, he loved them very much. Lord Shiva was not kind and merciful only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. It is stated in the list of Namaparad that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the chanting of Hara, or Shiva, are the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Ram, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? This is the conclusion. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. Actually, he loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of God. Ata bhagavata yuyam priyashta bhagavan yata namad bhagavatanam cha prayan anyosti karichit. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. So this is an interesting statement by Lord Shiva. And it proves, as it says here, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, that Lord Shiva is the best of the Vaishnavas. He has met the Prachetas. Actually, he's going to give them spiritual instruction. They accept him as their spiritual master. So they're approaching like this as disciples to spiritual master. So spiritual master means that he can deliver Krishna to them. They are not approaching him independently of Krishna. So they are the Prachetas are Vaishnavas. So they see everything in relationship to Krishna. So their worship of Shiva, worshipping him as a devotee of Krishna, is different from the worship given to him by others, the asuras, who worship him either as independent of or identical with Krishna. These are two sides of Mayavad philosophy, actually, to see other beings as, or materialism, you see other things. You don't see the relationship either, to see no relationship or to see identity. Neither of these, one thing has no relationship with something else. That's one way. But identity is also no relationship. To see completely separate or to see completely identical. In neither case is there anything like relationship. When there's relationship, there are two things, and they stand in some determinate fashion with one another. That's a relationship. Identity, there are not two things. And to say separate from means no relationship whatsoever. So to see the Mayavad philosophy works this way. For example, and they have both things. It's interesting how it works, but in Mayavad philosophy, kind of simultaneously, nothing has any relationship with Krishna. And the same thing, everything is one at the same time. Don't ask me exactly how they pull this off, but that's the philosophy. For example, according to Vedanta Sutra, janmadasyataha, the absolute truth is that from which everything comes. But according to Mayavad philosophy, this world around us and the things in it, they do not come from the absolute truth. Rather, it is an illusory superimposition. Actually, there is only one thing, and that is Brahman. And everything else is false. Brahma, Satya, Jagat, Mitya. That's their philosophy. So if you ask, according to Mayavada philosophy, what is the relationship between the absolute truth and the creation? The answer is that there is no relationship whatsoever. There is no relationship. Because ultimately, everything you see here doesn't exist at all. This is to show that the Mayavada philosophy is just the other side of materialism, another form of materialism. Because the materialists, they have this in common with the Mayavadis. They also see no relationship. They think this world is real, and what is beyond this world or what is the absolute truth, that doesn't exist. There's no relationship. They see no relationship between this world and the absolute truth. And similarly, the Mayavada philosophy sees no relationship. They say the absolute truth exists and this world doesn't exist. But in both cases, there's no relationship. Because one term of the relationship, either the absolute truth or the material world, doesn't exist. So this is one thing, is to see no relationship at all. To see identity. Because another phase of Mayavada philosophy is that, well, nevertheless, while you're still involved in the world of duality, you can worship the Lord as one without a second, diverse in many, or in the universal form. This Krishna states, he describes Mayavada philosophy this way in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says that he describes these people. They worship God. They worship themselves as God. They worship anything and everything as God, or they worship the cosmic organism, the universe, as God. Because basically, it's all one. So that means you can pick anything you like. As long as they're going to be an illusion, we're going to worship. And you can worship whatever you want, because it's all one. So even though this world has no relationship with God whatsoever, and therefore is total Maya, total illusion, completely nullity, nevertheless, at the same time, it's also their philosophy that while you're involved in illusion, everything you can worship anything and everything without discrimination. That's the way it works. I'm not going to try to justify that that procedure. So anyway, same thing. They worship Shiva as identical with Krishna, or as something with no relationship to Krishna whatsoever. So both of these positions are false. The actual position is given here that he is great devotee, classified among the demigods, and as such, all the demigods are servants of Krishna. So anything, that is the statement, the worship of Krishna is great, but greater than that is the worship of those things that are in relationship to Krishna. This is actually stated by Lord Shiva himself. So Lord Shiva is also in relationship to Krishna. He's a devotee. Those things that are in relationship to Krishna refers to his devotees. Bhagavan is Krishna, and Bhagavata is that which is in relationship to Bhagavan. The devotees. So the worship of the devotees, he says, is greater than the worship of Krishna. So he's that way. So the demigods can actually be worshipped, as so long as they're worshipped in connection with Krishna. So the example here is Katyayani, or Durga. She's approached, of course, the gopis. This is the tradition that at a certain time of the year, the unmarried girls perform puja to Kajayani to give them a good husband. This is a very successful practice because you see in India, most girls are married by the time they're in their early 20s. In America, where they don't do this, they have other problems. So. But this is the practice that the offering to Kachayani is there, a certain process that is followed. So it is seen that the gopis made this offering to Kachayani, but they prayed that they may get Krishna as their husband. So there's no fault in that worship, because it's fully in Krishna consciousness. So they're worshiping Kachayani to attain the favor of Krishna. Similarly, it's recommended in the nectar devotion that one may worship Ganesh to remove obstacles in the path of devotional service. He's usually worshipped that way. He's the remover of obstacles, his specialist, his specialty. So these things are all right. So demigod worshippers are different from devotees. Krishna states this, he says that devotees, jnanavam mam prapadyate, this is the devotee is jnanavan, he possesses knowledge, bahunam, after many births, he becomes jnanavan, fully possessing knowledge. What does he do? Mam prapadyate, he surrenders to me. And then in the next verse, after that one, he talks about these, kamas taista ritta jnana, prapadyante anya devata. The first one is jnanavan, those who possess jnana. The second verse is ritta jnana. By contrast, those who are deprived of knowledge. By what are they deprived of knowledge? Kama, by lust. Lust has stolen away their knowledge. Those whose knowledge have been stolen away of lust. The jnanavan, mam prapadyate, they surrender to me, but these, prapadyante anya devata, they surrender to anya devata, to other gods. There's the difference. If you have knowledge, then you surrender to Krishna. If you don't have knowledge, and what is the cause of ignorance according to this? Kama. Whenever there is lust or the desire for sense gratification, there is lack of knowledge. You don't know Krishna. That's the proof in the seventh chapter. The whole proof of the seventh, the whole argument in the seventh chapter, how by having various kinds of desires or lusts, you don't know Krishna. Actually, we're made to know Krishna. We're made to perceive Krishna. But we've perverted our instruments of knowledge by engaging them in sense gratification. As long as we're engaged in sense gratification, we can't see Krishna. Because our senses are useless. They're perverted. You can't expect to be misusing your senses in sense gratification and at the same time to be able to perceive spirit. As soon as the senses are reused properly in Krishna service, then again they can begin to perceive Krishna. The existence of Krishna is obvious. There's nothing more obvious. Krishna is all that there is. There's no act of perception. There's nothing you hear, there's nothing you taste, there's nothing you smell, but that Krishna is not an ingredient. But that the ingredient of Krishna we can't perceive now because we're engaged in sense gratification. When the senses stop being used in sense gratification, then that ingredient, Krishna, becomes apparent. We're not really interested in proving the existence of God to people. We're interested in getting people in a position where they can actually directly perceive the self-evident existence of Krishna. If Krishna is obvious, But you have to have the senses to perceive Krishna. But because of material lust, because of desires, people have separated. They've created this illusion of separateness from God. Because every time we see something separate from God, that's an act of theft. I want to enjoy this, and then automatically, whatever we're looking at, that becomes material, separate from God. We create this material vision due to our desire to enjoy independently of God. Therefore, we live in a world in which God is not visible to us. We don't see the absolute truth. We don't see the connection of everything with Krishna. So it's important to see Krishna and also to see the connection with Krishna. So the important part of this principle is given here about by Lord Shiva. The Prachetas approaches him. He recognizes them as devotees of the Lord. And he says immediately, although he's in the position of spiritual master and they're in the position of disciple, he says, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So here, what we see is here a relationship being established among devotees. So this is the important thing to learn from this verse. First of all, he recognizes devotees. And he says, oh, I can see right away that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Of course, we emphasize this in relationship to the spiritual master, Shakshad Hari Tvena Samasta Shastraya Uktasta Tabhav Yata Eva Sadvi. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is that? Shakshad Hari Tva. By the way, a lot of devotees misquote this. I've seen this misquoted as the spiritual master is Shakshad Hari, but the actual Sanskrit is Shakshad Hari Tva. Shakshad Hari Tvena. That's in the case ending. Instrumental kids, Shakshad Hari Tva. The suffix Tva is there. The suffix Tva means is the same as the English suffix N-E-S-S. Like it also appears in the same poem. Gana Gana Tvam. Gana Gana Tva. Gana Gana means rain cloud. So Ganaganatva means having the quality of a rain cloud. The spiritual master has the quality of a rain cloud, able to put out the blazing fire of material existence. So he's like a rain cloud. So similarly, directly, Shakshad Hari Tva. He's not directly Shakshad Hari. That's Mayavad philosophy. That's seeing the spiritual master as God, as identical with God. That's Mayavad philosophy. As soon as that, you see that the spiritual master is God, you mistake the servant of God for God himself, then you don't see relationship anymore, then your Mayavad philosophy. But it's Shakshad Hari Tva. He is imbued with, he has Hari-ness. He's directly empowered to act as God, or like Hari. There's a crucial little syllable there. So anyway, we stress this about how we see the spiritual master as Shakshad Hari Tva, but here we also see that the spiritual master sees the disciples in the same way. Because this is a relationship among Vaishnavas. If Vaishnavas are dear to Krishna, then they must be dear to those who love Krishna. If I love somebody, and then I see that this somebody that I love, he loves others, then naturally I have to love those people that he loves. So we see that the devotees are very dear to Krishna. So if I love Krishna, I have to love the devotees even more. So that's a test of how much I love Krishna is actually how much I love the devotees of Krishna. Because we can't do this. We can't take Krishna and separate him off from the devotees of Krishna. That's not allowed. Krishna is never by himself anyway. You'll never see a picture of Krishna by himself. Well, maybe some Indian poster, but actually any picture of Krishna drawn by a Vaishnava, he is social. Sometimes you see Lord Shiva meditating, he's all by himself. But has anyone seen a picture of Krishna meditating all by himself? No. There's always cows, at least. Krishna is very social. There's usually cows, gopis, cowherd boys. He's always in association with his devotees. And he likes it better to be addressed like that. Even Prabhupada said, by himself, Krishna is not especially attractive or beautiful. But when he's in the company of the devotees, he becomes attractive. Beautiful. But of course, he's always in the company of devotees. And he likes it better when he's addressed as having a relationship with devotees. Yasomati Nandana. Devaki Nandana. Nandagopal. You know, these names are very, he likes that very much. When he's called as having the relationship, Vrajendra Nandana, and so on. Parthasarathi, chariot driver of Arjuna. These please him very much. So if Krishna likes the devotees so much, or loves the devotees so much, and we love Krishna, then how can we help ourselves from loving the devotees? We should understand what the power of devotional service is. That it's so powerful that Krishna is actually, he's helpless. See, we know, because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we know Krishna's weakness. That he's a sucker for pure devotional service. That it actually somebody serves him without any self-motivation, Krishna becomes, he just surrenders to that person. Because Krishna is controlled by love. He controls everything, but he's controlled by love. So that's how he feels about devotees, about devotional service. This is his nature. You call it his weakness. And for that reason, Rupa Goswami tells us that pure devotional service is very rare. It's not given out to everybody. Because it actually makes the devotees more powerful than Krishna himself. Prabhupada says on some occasions that the ambition of the Mayavadis, of course he's talking a little facetiously, but he says the ambition of the Mayavadis is not very great. He said their aim is to become God. He said, but the devotees become higher position, they become greater than God. And he cited the pastime where the gopis are dancing and singing and little Krishna is playing and jumping up and down according to their controlling him by their love. And when he was a small boy, the older gopis used to play with him. just like you can do with a child. You can make him do things. Or he carries Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. Things like that. So anyway, this is the position of Krishna consciousness, devotional service. So Prabhupada talked about in lectures on nectar devotion that he gave in Vrindavan. He said that the spiritual master actually doesn't see his own disciples as... he sees his disciples as representatives of his spiritual master. He says that... and actually, there are some letters where Prabhupada writes like this, where some, I don't know who wrote him, but he replied that the words of praise that you have written to me are very nice, he said, but actually I cannot take very much credit for what I have done. He said, actually, when I was a young man, I was ordered to preach in English by my spiritual master, and but I've been so much of a rascal that I could not fulfill this order until the fag end of my life. He used this expression, fag end of my life. And he said, so I've come here and I've been having so much difficulty executing this order of my spiritual master. So out of his kindness, he has sent you, and the nice American boys and girls, to help me, and now because of your help, I'm able to do something to please my Guru Maharaj. And so there's the idea of somebody who's we accept as our spiritual master, but he's not even seeing that I'm the master, he's seeing I'm the servant. I'm simply trying to please Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and you're assisting me. This is my service, and I'm pleasing him by this service, and because of your help, I can do something. So I have to thank you more for helping me to please my spiritual master. So in this way, he's talking about the devotees as being sent by Bhakti Siddhanta, so now I can accomplish something. So in this way, Lord Shiva says to the Prachetas, you are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Well, this is his statement. And he says he knows this is also mutual. This is the association of devotees. So he says, I know in this way that the devotees also respect me and that I am dear to them. Because Lord Shiva is also a very powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how devotees should see that all devotees, they are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And should be respected that way. So this is important, not to create offenses. So also, the Lord is worshipful, but if we understand Krishna, then we also have to recognize that the devotees of Krishna, they are also worshipful. Because the devotional service and devotees, they're very, very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one has to be grateful for being in the company of devotees, understanding that without the company of devotees, I can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is the only way we can go back to Godhead, is in the association of devotees. And if we really want to please Krishna, we please the devotees. Prabhupada gave that example, that what can you do to please Krishna? He has everything. But if you please the devotee of Krishna, then Krishna is very pleased. Like there's some rich man and you want to flatter him and get his attention. and he's a very, very wealthy person, you'd have to spend a fortune. Cartier watch, I don't know, you have to spend a lot of money to buy those watches that you see advertised in the New York Times magazine section or something like that. But if that man has a son and you buy him, like, you spend 15 cents on a candy bar or something like that, then very cheaply, and you made that son happy, then, immediately he's pleased. Or you buy him a little rubber ball or something. So in the same way, that's the secret of pleasing Krishna, is to please the devotees of Krishna. So that's actually a very great secret of Krishna consciousness. And don't think that we're going to make very much advancement by serving Krishna and ignoring the devotees of Krishna. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. Sure formula for disaster in spiritual life. See a lot of people who fall in that particular ditch and don't come back out again. Krishna's all right, but the devotees, they're not so nice. They're devotees, so. Dear to Krishna, Krishna likes devotional service. He's bought by it. So this is the secret of Krishna consciousness. To please Krishna, we have to please Krishna's devotees. So, any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu? Sure. Yeah, we can say that. That's an index to one's quality of your relationship with Krishna, your relationship with the devotees of Krishna. Sure. One has a hard time in his relationship with devotees, then that's a good indication that there's something problematical. He has what? Well, that's also to his credit that he's doing a lot of service. But who is he doing the service for? How? Serving the devotees. Well, if he's serving the devotees, then why isn't he getting along with those people he's serving? Well, that's good, but why not associate also? What's the problem with associating with devotees? Huh? Yeah. But he'd do better if also he could associate with the devotees. But you see, you do your service. Almost everybody does their service in association with devotees. I don't know of too many people who serve Krishna all by themselves. Anybody know anyone? Once in a while you get a few people, but... Sometimes it seems like it, and you don't feel so good about that, though, do you? You know, if you're all by yourself. Yeah, you like other devotees to help, to appreciate what you're doing, to get along. Yeah? not by choice. Especially a spiritual master. He was the main thing he was doing was following the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And his desire to do that was not so much appreciated by some members of the Gaudiya Math. Maybe not so much into facilitating that desire. But he never did he, Prabhupada, ever like leave the Gaudiya Math. Actually, he was never part of the Gaudiya Math in a way. You know, he never had any position in Prabhupada's, or he was an outsider, you know, a fringy.